top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Tuesday, March 5th, in the headlines. Pastor Randy Rodney contends that it is absolutely essential for the DLP administration to recognize that the people of Dominica are no longer willing to tolerate on accounting monies as business as usual.
Q95DA.
Heavily armed gangs clashed with authorities on Monday, attempting to seize Haiti's main international airport amidst escalating violence, which also saw a major prison break. And Iran's interior minister stated on Monday that voter turnout in the parliamentary elections was about 41%, marking the lowest since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, which propelled the clerical rulers into power.
Right on.
The news is brought to you compliments, Courts Dominica Limited.
Annual frame event at Quartz Optical, so don't miss out. Get up to 80% off your favorite frames. Call 448-7655 to book your free eye examination or book online at quartzoptical.com. Get that frame today and pay later. It's the annual frame event only at Quartz Optical. Value you can see. Conditions apply.
Pastor Randy Rodney, host of Q95's Kingdom Connection program, noted that numerous businesses showed solidarity with the hashtag Do Nothing Day observed on Monday. He interpreted this as a clear indication that individuals have been feeling the economic strain and are making a statement. Pastor Rodney stressed the importance of conveying to the DLP administration that the citizens of Dominica are no longer willing to accept unaccounted monies as business as usual.
Dominica News Online reports that there was a strange odor at the Inland Revenue offices, and the building was vacated, I understand, for some time. They probably had a do-nothing day today at the Inland Revenue. The odor caused that. What an odor. I just wanted to mention that to you, that they had an odor at the Inland Revenue, and the people had to be rushed out because staff began to cough and so on. So they exited the building, and I don't know how long they stayed closed for the day. I don't know how long, but they were out for the day. So somehow the odor caused them to have a do-nothing day. And then that takes me to the question of a do-nothing day. There were some businesses I saw shut down in Rosewood, and it seems as though some people are feeling the pinch. They have been feeling the pinch, and so they're making a point, and which is what is absolutely necessary, ladies and gentlemen, a point needs to be made to our government that we will not continue to take business as usual. But like I've said to you very many years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I've read the books and I still keep reading the books. People who become tyrants and change democracies into totalitarian regimes, they never, hear me, they never admit that they're doing wrong. They keep sidestepping and sidestepping and sidestepping until they make bad matters worse, not just for them, but for the people.
According to Pastor Rodney, his investigations indicate that Dominica has sold nearly 40,000 passports. He emphasizes that the calculations are straightforward and evident.
Now, I didn't listen to the address, quite frankly, but it was sent to me. And I listened, well, it's not an address, the statements that Prime Minister Skerrit made on Kyrie with his host Simeon saying, yes, PM, yes, PM. And it's another, how do I call it, bowl of nothing. So the answer to the question of the missing billions rests in figures, not in explanations. Let me tell you what your explanation sounds like. We gave you $10,000 to make a dinner, and that was supposed to be a dinner for X number of people with shrimps and what's the other one name? The expensive stuff. And you make a braaf, back and neck for them, and tell them what I make the food, but you hold the rest of the money. That's what it is. What the explanation you give us, that's what it is. Stop this childish thing. And you're still operating like you're 26. You're 50-something years old. Put water in your wine. So that when you're speaking to adults, you speak to adults. So here's the drill, sir. It appears from my own check that we have sold pretty close to 40,000 passports. that should have a figure body. The calculation should be simple, you know. If all you say is, you know, 10,000 family and 40,000 single, whatever the case is, the calculation is simple. You are just defending without defending. You can only defend figures with figures. That's all you can do. You cannot defend it to say, well, look, we have that, then we have that, then we have that.
And that was Pastor Randy Rodney. Clement Vital, the coordinator of the Ministry of Education's National Math Power Competition, has announced that 58 primary schools are projected to join the elimination round of the math competition, scheduled to take place from March 5th to March 14th for 2024, starting at 2:30 p.m. Additionally, he mentioned that the semi-finals round is slated for March 21st, 2024.
The National Maths Power Contest elimination begins on Tuesday and runs until the 14th of March from 2:30 p.m. 58 primary schools will be competing, and the top 25 schools that emerge from the eliminations will be going to the semifinals, which will be held on the 21st of March, 2024. Two students from each participating school will team up for two segments. The first segment, which is mental maths, students will be required to work out a series of maths problems in their heads. No paper, pencils, or calculators will be allowed, and students will have 30 seconds to give an answer. In the second segment, dubbed problem-solving round, students will have to answer a series of challenging maths problems. They will, however, be able to use pens, pencils, and paper in this round and will have 1 minute to present the correct answer.
Vital provided a list of schools expected to take part in the initial phase of the elimination round of the competition.
The following schools will take part in the first segment of the eliminations. For Cluster 1, Jubler, Collihoe, Coolibistri, Salisbury, Caleb Lower, Paybush, and St. John's Primary School will gather at the Salisbury Primary School. For Cluster 2, Calibishi, Wesley, Woodford Hill, Temple SDA, Will Strathmore, and Benz will gather at the Wesley Primary School. And for Cluster 3, Patricia Scotland, Roosevelt Douglas, Clifton, Penfield, Sabanpie, and Thibault will gather at the Roosevelt Douglas Primary School.
Clement Vital, the coordinator of the Ministry of Education's National Math Power Competition. The FAO Regional Office for Latin America and the Caribbean conducted consultations with various stakeholders ahead of the 30th Regional Conference. These meetings, held in February, brought together FAO officials and representatives from private, scientific, academic, and civil society sectors to shape FAO's agenda for the 2024-2025 year. Insights gathered from these consultations will inform discussions during the conference country dialogue. Each consultation session attracted an average of 600 attendees via various online platforms, with additional in-person participation at the FAO Regional Office in Santiago de Chile. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95de.com. Minister of State with responsibility for public utilities and Member of Parliament for the Rosa South constituency, Shakira Lockhart-Hippolyte, has revealed that plans are in progress for the construction of a zip line in Monbruce. She stated that discussions have taken place with a potential investor and the Ministry of Tourism regarding the project. Hippolyte emphasized that the aim is to enhance the tourist attraction in the Roseau area for both visitors and locals. She spoke on state-owned radio this morning.
The Monbruce site is one of the most popular sites visited by our cruise passengers. I visited Monbruce and I spoke to 8 vendors vending there, and all of them said to me that they're having an amazing season, very good season. And so I spoke to the Minister of Tourism and her permanent secretary, and we came up with this project for a zip line which would run from Monbruce to the gardens. And so we spoke to a potential investor who visited the site, and he's quite excited about the project. And so we have to do the feasibility studies. But I think what this project will do, it will just enhance, you know, the whole aspect of the Monbrough site, because sometimes tourists come there and they get to view the city, and so they take pictures. It's a really beautiful view. I think that's the best view of the city, but there's no activity that you can actually do, and I think this zip line would sell very well for cruise passengers, and not only our visitors, but also locals.
And that was Shakira Lockhart Hippolyte, Minister of State with Responsibility for Public Utilities and MP for the Rosso South Constituency. The Organization of American States, OAS, and its Executive Secretariat for Integral Development extended their congratulations to all women across the Americas in honor of International Women's Day on March 8 for 2024. One of the initiatives reinforcing the OAS commitment to promoting women's inclusion in economic development is the Women's Economic Empowerment Project. Through this project, the OAS aims to empower women-led and owned micro, small, and medium enterprises to leverage the digital economy and establish sustainable livelihoods in six Eastern Caribbean countries. These include Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, Grenada, St. Lucia, St. Kitts and Nevis, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Kim Osborne, Executive Secretary for Integral Development at the OAS, expressed the organization's dedication to inspiring women's economic empowerment in celebration of International Women's Day and the significant contributions of the OAS WEE project to women's advancement in the Eastern Caribbean. Virtual workshops will be held. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website. That's www.q95da.com. Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit addressed concerns on a local radio show last Saturday, dismissing the opposition's allegations of missing billions from the CBI program. He emphasized the ongoing projects in Dominica as evidence that these funds are being effectively utilized. Additionally, Prime Minister Skerrit assured the Dominican people that there are no outstanding debts owed to them.
This talk about missing billions, but at the same time they're saying that they're missing billions, they are also citing several projects in the country that which have been financed by the CBI and which are being financed by the CBI. I want to say to Dominicans very clearly and without any fear of contradiction, there are absolutely no missing monies that are due to the people of Dominica. None. This government has had a stolen record of being able to account for every single dollar placed in its care and oversight. When you speak to the World Bank, we have 100% record of being able to account for the resources they have given to us. They do their own audits, and we are in the top class in terms of being able to account for the monies given to us. And we recall when we came into government in 2000, we were not able to borrow from the World Bank. You know why? Because the UDLP had gone against the procurement rules of the World Bank, and we had to repay the monies to the World Bank, and it's only then we were able to get back into the black books of the World Bank. We have been able, you know, for example, the European Union. The European Union can tell you that Dominica is its best student insofar as the use of the monies given to us and our ability to account for the resources.
Prime Minister Skerrit asserts that the current administration of the Dominica Labour Party stands out as the sole political party in the nation's history to effectively and responsibly manage the resources and finances derived from the CBI program.
We came to government, there was fiasco in respect to the water project in the Kalago territory, that the United Workers Party went contrary to the procurement rules of the European Union and gave the contract to the then chairman of the board of Duasco to carry out works for on behalf of Duasco. In respect to the CBI, that is the only government, only party in the history of the CBI program where people can see for their eyes, with their eyes, what this government has been able to do utilizing the resources of the CBI. When Eugenia Charles Mayer your soul rest in peace was the prime minister of this country. Nobody knew what was being used, how these CBI monies were being used. As a matter of fact, when you spoke about CBI in days of Eugenia Charles, only thing you could recall people talking about was the Lai River Hotel project. There were no infrastructural projects happening in Dominica with CBI funds. There were no public sector investment programs. There were no poverty alleviation programs. There were no employment programs. There were no investments in small businesses. There were no investments in agriculture, and the list goes on. When the United Workers Party came on board, they were in fact running two programs, one in the Ministry of Finance and the other in the Office of the Prime Minister. The records are there to show, with letters from Jose Luis, the then Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Legal Affairs, raising alarm, being a whistleblower, but he was never taken on seriously. And the United Workers Party was never able to account for any monies, because we never knew how the monies were spent. We never knew how much was raised under CBI when the Workers Party was in government.
Prime Minister Roosevelt's character. In other news, in the latest eruption of violence in Haiti, heavily armed gangs made a bold attempt to seize control of the country's main international airport on Monday, exchanging gunfire with both police and soldiers. The attack on Toussaint Louverture International Airport, the largest in Haiti's history, occurred during a period of closure with no operational flights and no passengers present. Witnesses, including journalists from the Associated Press, observed an armored vehicle on the tarmac engaging in gunfire to repel the gangs while airport staff and workers fled amid the chaos. The assault on the airport comes as the heels of a weekend marked by widespread violence, including a mass escape from two major prisons in Haiti. Last week, the airport had briefly come under fire during gang attacks, but until now, gangs had not breached its perimeter or taken control. These incidents unfolded shortly after Haitian authorities imposed a nighttime curfew in response to escalating violence, which saw armed gang members storming prisons and releasing thousands of inmates. A state of emergency was declared with a pledge from the government of Haiti to track down the escaped prisoners, many of whom were awaiting a trial for serious crimes. And Iran's interior minister revealed on Monday that voter turnout in the parliamentary elections stood at approximately 41%, marking the lowest level of participation since the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution, which propelled clerical rulers into power.
Iran's parliamentary election turnout was the lowest since the country's 1979 Islamic Revolution that swept the clerical rulers into power. Friday's election was seen as a test of the clerical establishment's legitimacy amid mounting economic struggles and a lack of electoral options for a mostly young population chafing at political and social restrictions. On Monday, the country's interior minister Ahmed Vahidi told a televised news conference that the turnout was around 41%. Authorities said the figure indicated the people's trust in the sacred system of the Islamic Republic.
Well, we saw the participation of a turnout more than the last rounds. And this is why we had an unsettling atmosphere in parts of the country, and also the constant advertising of the enemy.
Vahidi said invalid votes made up 5% of the total vote count. Some Iranian media reported that number to be as high as 30%, suggesting signs of disillusionment even among core supporters of the Islamic Republic. The election was the first since anti-government protests in 2022-23, triggered by the death of a young Kurdish woman, Mahsa Amini, in the custody of morality police. The protests spiraled into one of Iran's worst political turmoils since the Islamic Revolution and were quelled by a violent crackdown involving mass detentions and even executions. Friday's contest was essentially among hardliners and low-key conservatives, all proclaiming loyalty to revolutionary ideals. Heavyweight moderates and conservatives stayed out, and reformists called the election not free and unfair.
That's the midday news, and here's a recap of the headlines. Pastor Randy Rodney contends that it is absolutely essential for the DLP administration to recognize that the people of Dominica are no longer willing to tolerate unaccounted monies as business as usual.
The Big Station.
Heavily armed gangs clashed with authorities on Monday, attempting to seize Haiti's main international airport amidst escalating violence, which also saw a major prison break. And Iran's interior minister stated on Monday that voter turnout in the parliamentary elections was about 41%, marking the lowest since the 1979 Islamic Revolution, which propelled clerical rulers into power. The news was brought to you, compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I am Fudi Sanvalmand.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the Big Station.